Good morning.
My name's Takaya, and I will be reading the scripture for today. It's the book of Jeremiah, chapter 29, verses 10 through 13. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. May God add a blessing to the reading of this word. Amen.
Well, good morning, all you beautiful people. It's good to see you. Okay. I have, okay, a little time, 15 minutes at the most, right? When Pastor Barker came to me and asked me if I would speak today, I said yes, because I thought this would be a wonderful opportunity to get back at him for all of those snide remarks he made about my Chicago Bears, who we're just going to eat up little dolphins. All right. But on second thought, I said, wait a minute, what did he want me to speak on? Well, he wanted me to give a word, I guess, of hope and encouragement to the young people we have here, to the people we honor today, and I guess to him, it would apply to everybody. I might add that I can't move from this spot, they tell me, because since I'm such a lawbreaker, I didn't want to be mic'd, you know, so I can't move from here, they tell me. But I think you're going to be able to hear me even if I moved over there. I taught second grade, for goodness sakes. I can project. But at any rate, when I thought about how important this message would be, then I figured, well, I don't have much time for frivolity. So here we go. Well, the first thing that came into my impulsive mind was, what scripture would I cover? And well, it came to mind that, you know, I know the plans I have for you. And I thought, oh, that's it. Now, where is that? In the Bible. I've done some public speaking here and there, but not much from the Bible. So here I go, I'm looking for it, but wait a minute, I got a smartphone. You can find anything you want on there. Just type in those little words, and there it was, Jeremiah 29, 11 through 12 is what I saw. I noticed in the reading it went on to 13, which is fine. But first of all, I thought, well, encouragement for young people, school, and I thought about a graduation speech I gave, and maybe I can pull something from that, but I didn't pull anything from the Bible. And the more I thought about this scripture, I know the plans I have for you, declared the Lord. I plan to prosper and not to harm you, plan to give you hope and a future. And at this level, too, for young people, that's what we're looking for. And I might add even for old people, because one particular verse in the Bible, somewhere in Isaiah, God promises, too, to take care of old people. And I said, oh, you got me covered, too. So here we can see that, let's see, I decided I'm going to break this verse down as much as I can to remind people, everybody here, of the many attributes of God. And then when I started looking into that, you know, we could be here all till next week talking about the attributes of God. But I decided to break it down as much as I could, to maybe 3 points that's found actually right within this verse. I know the plans to prosper and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. The more I thought about it, I thought of my own self as a young child. And somehow, I don't know how, I can't think of what they did, but my parents somehow instilled in me that God became my go-to guy, you know. Whatever was bothering me, even as a child, I went to God. And that's what I want to remind you of. Whatever you go through, go to God with it. I can remember, for some crazy reason, I'm kind of nervous up here today. And I'm saying for some crazy reason, I even find myself getting a hot flash, and they've been gone a long time. Oh my goodness. And it's kind of hot up here, Vania, so I know she's not in here, so I know what she's talking about. But anyway, at somewhere, and I remember, I was about 14 years old. He put a fan on me. Okay. I remember when I was about 14 years old, and I had been selected. Our school was participating in highlighting of high schools in the New Orleans area. And I know, along with the band, I was part of the band too, but we were on a school bus headed for New Orleans, and I was to be on this radio show. And remember, I told you, God was my go-to guy. I was scared to death all the way down to New Orleans. What, 15 miles? I prayed the whole way that God would just give me the ability to speak. And I know he did, because I did a wonderful job. So, but we're going to go down here, and we're going to try to break this down and quickly as we can, because Tegan is right behind me. I don't want her to be dying back there. Many times, we make decisions and plans in our life, and God comes along and intervenes for us. He intervenes, he refines and corrects our path. Something that we must do as well in terms of making plans for our lives. We should remember that. If God is a planner, then we should be a planner. But one of the things, my story starts out like in college, really. I was ready for student teaching, had just got my position, my assignment for student teaching, got the ride all together. We made the trip because it was going to be a couple of us going to the same high school for student teaching. I had gotten my ride together, and I knew exactly where I was going to be the next morning for my student teaching. By the time I got back to the dormitory, I had a telephone call, and they had switched my position. I was not going to go to a high school. Instead, I was going to junior high. I said, oh boy, I don't know if I'm going to like this at all. Because one of the things coming up, I knew as far back as I could remember that I was going to be a teacher. I had a phenomenal first through third grade teacher, and I wanted to be just like her. And so I knew, I just didn't know what I was going to teach, or you might say where. I also knew, because of a program we had when we were in high school, that I didn't want to teach the little ones. I'm sorry, little ones, but I didn't want to. You have accidents, bathroom accidents, and I didn't want to deal with that at all. So I knew that was out of the question. So I get home and I get this call, you're going to a junior high school. Well, you know, as it turned out, it wasn't that bad. It was bad enough, but it wasn't that bad. You know, silly teenage girls, sorry girls, 13, 14 years old, kind of couldn't stand them. But we got through that. And then I graduated. Oh, nothing available. I mean, applied everywhere. Finally got a job teaching fourth grade. Oh, well. You know what, though? I loved it. loved it so much, I went back and got the other courses. And, of course, I spent the rest of my life, teaching life, teaching little kids. The last 15 years, it was teaching second grade. First of all, I learned so much from those little children. They're truthful. You know, they're uninhibited. They say what's on their mind. You know, they kind of humble you, too, because they love you. You're kind to them, they're kind to you. I just learned so much. And that job that I got, because somehow God took over everything for me. You know, you're not, and my daughter told me many years later, Mom, you wouldn't have made it in high school. She's probably right. You know, the profession that I loved may not have been that in the long run if I had gotten into high school. Because that became the love of my life. And I love it till this day. I love teaching until this day. And teaching the young children is especially important. Each of you have at your disposal a loving God of wisdom and power. Throughout the Bible, we can see, and I got to find my notes here, because one of the things I wanted to tell you is that this particular verse comes from the book of Jeremiah, of course, and it was written to the exiles of Babylon by King Nebuchadnezzar. These were exiles. Can you imagine now being exiled to a country like North Korea or just anywhere outside of your homeland? And these people needed encouragement, and Jeremiah wrote this letter to them. But this letter also for us, and I'm almost say boys and girls, but this letter, yeah, boys and girls, this letter was written for us today too. Throughout the Bible, we can find what God has done for his people for centuries. God is the same God today as he was then. His powers are not limited. God does not tire or grow weak. There's nothing that you can face in this life that is too hard for God. Okay, one thing we see in here, and I gotta see where my notes, you know, I forgot to see what time it was. Oh, yeah, okay, I'm all right. All right. I'm trying to find, okay, here we go. Within this verse, I know the plans I have for you. We find a wise God, and God is wise. All that God does for us is accomplished through his infinite mercy. He always acts for our good, which ultimately is to conform us to Christ. God plans within this verse, God plans to prosper us. Can he? Well, God owns everything. Again, when we think of prosper, though, and I'm saying God owns everything, I'm thinking, you know, of the riches. And that's what you think of. You know, I think there are whole churches that are developed and grown on this principle here. They teach this, that. But when I the more I looked at this, I said it doesn't necessarily mean riches. It doesn't necessarily mean plenty of money and all that money can do for us. But in life, there are many things money just can't buy. But God said he would prosper us. So, are you in school and you're doing well? Then I would say you're prospering. You know, if you're in great health, then you're prospering, believe me. Oh, if you're growing, children, if you're growing, even if you're growing in Christ, tell me if you're not prospering. You are. All right. Are you in your good mind? And I heard a whole lot of old people say this. Or do you wake up in your good mind? Tell me, you're prospering. Believe me, you're prospering. There's a lot of nuts out there. You're driving an old car and it starts up every morning. Get you where you're going. I think you're prospering. What do you think? All right. With that, find it. Okay, page 4. You're prospering. You're here this morning. Believe me, you're prospering. Also, it says God will not harm you. He plans to give you hope and a future. We can give you a future. Psalms 89, 1 through 8. God is the one who gives you your future. Let me see if I can find that. I realize that, you know, my husband speaks all the time, all you folks who speak all the time. And I talk pretty bad about you sometimes. You know, you get long-winded and you get up here and my husband won't sit down. I'm trying to cut it short here. But the one thing I know he does, and which I'm sorry, I just couldn't get it together, was, you know, put things on the computer and flash up the verses and all that. I'm sorry, I just could not get that together. I might think, I could have asked him, I guess, but I had a problem getting this little speech together, Mr. Barker. Well, I thought I did anyway, but. Here we go. I will sing to the Lord. Great love forever. I will sing of the Lord's great love forever. I can't see either. With my mouth, I will make your faithfulness known. I might add, because God is faithful. That's another one of his attributes. As I researched and I got papers galore, didn't bring them today. Be happy I didn't. He has God's attributes that are to our good, that he's that God. It's to our good. And I'm telling you, if you leave here with nothing today, but that I know that I can depend on God for whatever situation I find myself in, if you leave here just knowing that, then what I've done today is a good thing. Because embodied in that verse is just all the things, well, at least three things that God can do for us. He says he will do. Listen, God is faithful. What he says he will do, he can do. That's the other thing about it. God not only can do what he says he can do, we know that he has the power to do what he says he can do. I mean, you can't, no other God, small g, can do that. But that's who you have at your disposal. And even as young people, if you leave here just knowing that's who you can turn to. You know, for the longest time in my young life, and I might add, since I learned that there was no Santa Claus very young in life, but I can remember singing a song that he knows when you are sleeping, he knows when you've been good or bad. Well, for the longest time, I thought, my God, Santa Claus must be God. Because to me, God was the only one who knew that. You know, I couldn't hide anywhere and do something bad because God could see me. He can see you, folks. He knows what you're going through. He knows when things are good. He knows when things are bad. Call upon him. He can do it. I had a young sister, well, I still have her. She's still the youngest child in the family. And she went through a early divorce in life. And I know sometimes it's needful, definitely needful to do that. But I remember my dad and saying to her, he said, you know, prayers really help. You know, and in one sense, that's the background. And we're working on a book now, in Bible study today, Wednesday in the Word, I think we call it, and on prayer. And it's amazing, you know, what prayer can do, and what if we use that tool to this wonderful God that we have here, that just how wonderful our lives would be. And so that's another thing I just want to throw in here, that look to God in prayer. And it's amazing what can be accomplished in your life. Embodied in this verse, as I said, are many, many attributes that we have been privileged to have as part of our own lives that we have at our disposal. Throughout the Bible, we can see what God has done for his people. And with that, I'm going to remind you once again that this is a God, the one and only God. And I thought about this song. I don't know, I couldn't think of it, but when I thought about it in terms of God holds our lives in his hand. We have a God who can do that. Look to God for all your needs. I also, one last thing, God is a God of grace. And here we are, but for his grace. Grace is God's good pleasure that moves him to grant merit when it's undeserved, and to forgive the debts that cannot be repaid. And I think we're all a beneficiaries of that as well. Remember, you have a God who can do any and everything for you. He can fight your battles. He will fight your battles. Study. He will do your tests. You're going to be going on further to school. You're going to be looking for jobs. There's so many things that God will provide. And look to God for all your needs, all your cares. He can take care of it.
I just want to start off with a brief prayer. And the prayer is, I pray that as I speak today, that you see less of me and more of the Holy Spirit, more of God. I pray that I am able to proclaim the gospel clearly as I should. And so, brothers and sisters, come along with me as we dig deeper into this message. Amen. It is an honor and privilege to be able to come before the body of Christ to present a message to our amazing graduates. Congratulations. But the heart of this message is not just for graduates, it's for all students. Graduation represents a time where you have an opportunity to reflect on your hard work and sacrifices that have brought you this far. So don't look at this as the end, because there is work that needs to be done and lessons that need to be learned. Graduation is not the end as much as it is a step forward into a new beginning, or what's next. My prayer for all graduates and students is that this beginning is filled with opportunities for you to experience the grace and glory of God. Opportunities for you to discover the plans that our Almighty Father has for each of you. Now let's get into the message. Sometimes in stepping forward into a new beginning, you will experience uncertainty about what the future holds. With uncertainty, you will be faced with many giants. Is anyone familiar with some of these giants? And no, I'm not referring to members of the New York Giants. If not, allow me to name a few. Anxiety, doubt, fear, insecurity, and impossible. Do any of these sound familiar? Oh, okay. These giants seek to distract your attention from the one who fearfully and wonderfully created you. In Psalms chapter 139, verse 14, brothers and sisters, it reads, I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. We are the works of God. I know that full well. My question to each of you is, whose works are wonderful? Whose works are wonderful? God's works are wonderful. But when you are facing the giants of doubt and insecurity about the future, you begin to question the awesome and mighty works of God in your life. Rose, Lance, have either of you experienced these giants before? As a result, you drift away from whose you are and who you are in Christ Jesus. These giants hinder your ability to see the future and what lies ahead. Allow me to share a brief story with you about a young woman who recently graduated from college and experienced uncertainty about the future. This young woman excelled academically, but constantly fought with these giants. When graduation day came around, she should have been reflecting on her achievement and her successes. But what no one knew was that in her mind, she was fighting the giants of insecurity, doubt, and worry. She questioned constantly, was she good enough? Was she smart enough? Was she prepared enough for the next chapter in her life? Even though she had many successes academically, she still felt uncertain about the future. Can anyone guess the name of this young woman, Pastor Barker? Right, it's me. God had to remind me of the story about David and Goliath. How I interpret this story is that David came up against what appeared. Let me say that one more time, brothers and sisters. David came up against what appeared to be the impossible. The impossible being Goliath. But what is so amazing is that David possessed, listen to this. David possessed a God-sized confidence that only God, that only our Father could provide. David said to Goliath, "You come up against me with sword and spear and javelin. Listen to this. But I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty." That is a powerful name. "In the name of the Lord Almighty." Does anyone agree that their insecurities and worry come up against them the same way Goliath came up against David, Kelsey? Telling you that you are not brave enough, that you are not good enough or strong enough. But David had the faith that the Lord Almighty would hand, that the Lord Almighty would hand Goliath over to him. Chloe and Kendall, God did just that. And David, with the power of God, struck down Goliath. Now know that if God, and there is no if, but know that God could give Goliath, David, the confidence and power to strike down Goliath. He has given you the confidence to take down doubts, fears, and insecurity. And nothing, absolutely nothing, is too hard for our God. Eventually, I had to realize that God did not give me, nor God didn't give you, a spirit of fear, Monica. As God's word says in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, Monica, for God has not given you a spirit of fear. And body of Christ, I call out to you, what type of spirit has God given us? But of power, of love, and of sound mind. I believe it is so amazing how God uses his word to remind us of his great and awesome promises. For instance, in Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10, Ari, so do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. Now, Cameron, Nicholas, Kyle, and now, listen to this. I will uphold you. God will uphold you with his righteous right hand. So when those giants start telling you lies like you aren't bold enough or worthy enough, please remember that you serve a God who will uphold you with his righteous right hand. Amen. And so, brothers and sisters, I know you're probably wondering, and I know for most of us this is a review, but how to conquer the giants? First, seek God. God wants us to seek him first and always through crying out, praying, reading, and absorbing his word. Seek God in his strength. When you do, God will take care of the rest. God did not intend for anyone to live a life in doubt, fear, and insecurity. This is not God's will, nor is this his plan. You already know the plans that God has for you. Mrs. Dumas spoke about them earlier. Plans to prosper you, plans to give you a future, plans to give you hope. This is the plan of the foreign invader. To have us thinking, we don't need God to fight our giants. Well, the truth is, we do. Michael, Takiyah, keep your eyes fixed on the one from where your help cometh from. Keep your mind focused on the one who protects you. Keep your heart focused on the one who delivers you. If you do all these things, watch those giants fall. Keeping God as your center focus will always grant you, Takiyah, the victory. Second, prayer. God says, don't worry about anything, but pray for everything. Let me say that again. Don't worry about anything, but pray for everything. Prayer shouldn't be your last resort. Pray. Cast your cares on God. God is inviting you to offer up prayers and requests to him. God is so amazing. Kelsey and Pastor Barker, this proves that God wants to be in constant communication with you. Then the word of God says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 7, then because you belong to Jesus Christ, Sarah, then because you belong to Jesus Christ, Sarah, God will bless you with peace that no one, not even those giants, can completely understand. And this peace, I assure you, Tracy and Carol, will control the way you think and feel. When you continue to fight the worries, fears, and insecurities, essentially, what you are telling God is, I can handle it. But in reality, you cannot. When you surrender to God through prayer, you are communicating to God that you are now trusting him. You are now trusting him, Damon, to fight those giants for you. Amen. And third, trust the Lord. Now I'm going to speak for myself. I can definitely say that trusting God has been difficult for me. When you trust God, you are surrendering your will and worries in exchange for his power and his peace. His word says, cast my anxieties because he cares for you, Amaris. Did you hear that? Cast your anxieties on him because he cares for you. God knows that we cannot fight these giants on our own. In times of fear and worry, God should not be your plan B, but your plan A, your first plan. Amen. Sisters and brothers, God wants us to trust him because he knows in our form we can't conquer fears and insecurities on our own in this human form and this human body. This is why we must trust God. When God says he will deliver you, know that this is his promise. God always keeps his promises. God will do what he says he will do, Carissa and Vania. He just asks that we trust him. God gave David the confidence to strike down Goliath thousands of years ago. Don't you think that he will and has given you the confidence in the 21st century to strike down your giants? Amen? And in closing, I leave you with these words. Remember, God did not give you a spirit of fear, but of what? Love and a sound mind. Every insecurity or worry that you've been fighting against, Lance, don't be afraid anymore. Because the same God that handed Goliath to David is the same God that will hand your giants over to you. God's word says, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. With God by your side, anything is possible. Watch those giants fall.